But it was the Republican secretary's refusal to bend to Trump's demands that he, quote, find the votes needed to steal the election from Biden in Georgia that has made Raffensperger somewhat of a hero to many, including many on the left who are likely unaware of Raffensperger's duplicity when it comes to oversight of state elections and the impossible to oversee, wildly vulnerable and unverifiable touchscreen voting systems made by Dominion that he began forcing all voters at every polling place in Georgia across the state to begin using as of 2020. After a federal judge in a long-running lawsuit ordered the state to stop using their vulnerable and unverifiable old touchscreen voting systems made by Diebold. Many are also likely unaware of Raffensperger's apparent role in covering up the facts of the now notorious MAGA-run Coffee County, Georgia voting system software breach that occurred on January 7th, 2021, just the day after the insurrection, as a mob of Sidney Powell organized so-called computer experts would be allowed into the elections office in rural, right-leaning Coffee County, Georgia, to illicitly and unlawfully make copies of Dominion's vulnerable proprietary voting systems and their central tabulator systems, and then share that software across the internet with Lord knows who. We've been digging into that matter in depth here on the Bradcast and at bradblog.com, and we continue to do so, in particular, digging into what did Brad Raffensperger know about that breach, when did he know it, and why does it appear, anyway, that he has been attempting to cover the whole thing up? To make it go away? To pretend as if his supposed MAGA critics don't now have access to the keys to the kingdom for the entire statewide voting system used across Georgia, and, by the way, used in more than a dozen other states? Well, I do hope Jack Smith and his prosecutors ask Raffy about that during their interview with him in Atlanta. But, of course, all of this has served to cover up some very serious concerns about next year's presidential election in the critical battleground state. We have been far ahead of the curve on this story for years now, as we have been warning for years, even leading up to the 2020 elections, about Raffensperger and the dangerous touchscreen voting systems he purchased for a whopping $150 million. Instead of selecting a much more inexpensive and far more verifiable hand-marked paper ballot system, as repeatedly advised by cybersecurity and voting systems experts. And we have stayed out in front of this story. We told you long ago about the report by plaintiff's expert, Dr. Alex Halderman of the University of Michigan, a longtime voting system and cybersecurity expert, which discovered vulnerabilities in the Dominion touchscreen voting systems that were so alarming that the federal judge in this long-running case sealed his report even from the plaintiffs who had hired him. She did, however, eventually allow the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA, to review Halderman's report, after which CISA released an alert calling for immediate software upgrades for security reasons to Georgia's Dominion systems. Dominion went about creating those patches and have had them certified by the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission, or EAC. By the way, they're the ones that didn't notice the vulnerabilities of the previous versions of the system in the first place. And when the federal judge in that long-running Curling versus Raffensperger case asked the Secretary of State's attorneys back in May whether their office had yet installed those CISA-recommended EAC-certified upgrades on the state's 70,000 or so voting and tabulation systems, the attorney stunned the court, as we reported the next day on this show exclusively, by informing the judge that they had decided to wait until after the 2024 presidential election. They would not install those upgrades, those critical security upgrades, until 2025. Now, that was more than 6 weeks ago, on May 10th, that we broke that news on this program with plaintiff Marilyn Marks of the Coalition for Good Governance. She's one of the plaintiffs in that curling case. We posted that day's broadcast at bradblog.com under the headline, quote, "Exclusive Georgia Delays Security Fixes to Touchscreen Voting Systems Until After 2024 Election." It would be more than a month later, on June 15, before the Associated Press eventually reported the same story, headlined, quote, "Critics blast Georgia's plan to delay software updates on its voting machines." A very good, if somewhat tardy, report by AP's Kate Brumback, who is based in Atlanta. And then, more than a week later, when Politico's John Sakellariadis, in another very good report, detailed what we had long ago reported in his piece. It was headlined, "Brad Raffensperger's refusal to fix voting machine bugs sets up 2024 election fight." That echoed our coverage that was published more than 6 weeks prior. The Politico report, published last Friday, features a great big photo of Brad Raffensperger, and it appears to have had its headline subsequently changed for some reason to, quote, "From election hero to zero. Georgia officials' dismissal of security audit could mean trouble in 2024. The focus of that story was placed on the refusal by Raffensperger's office to update their statewide voting systems before next year, even after the federal judge in the curling case had finally unsealed Dr. Alex Halderman's report that she had had sealed for 2 years. It was unsealed just 2 weeks ago. We discussed it on this program at the time with Georgia Tech's College of Cybersecurity founder, Richard DeMillo. According to Politico's late, but also very good coverage on Friday, as well as our own reporting on this matter, the Secretary of State's office is now pushing back hard against critics of their refusal to upgrade their systems with the security patches suggested by CISA before next year. As Politico writes, "For the second time in 4 years, Georgia's Secretary of State stands at the center of a fight over the legitimacy of a U.S. presidential election. Only now, Brad Raffensperger, the Republican who once stood up to Donald Trump's election fraud lies, is the one security experts see as the problem." In a letter sent to state lawmakers, Raffensperger argues that a newly unsealed audit finding that there are dangerous vulnerabilities in Georgia's widely used voting machine software is overblown and no fixes are actually needed. Quote, "It's more likely that I could win the lottery without buying a ticket," unquote, "than that hackers could flip enough votes to swing the election," he said in that letter. But Raffensperger's dismissive reaction to the unsparing audit conducted by security expert Alex Halderman has turned him into an object of intense criticism from cybersecurity specialists who say that Raffensperger is painting legitimate research with the brush of far-right conspiracy theories and imperiling the 2024 election in the process. Quote, "Raffensperger has lumped us with the election deniers," says David Jefferson, a computer scientist at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory and an expert on election technology, as well as a guest on this program many times over the years. "But we cannot, out of fear of that confusion," he said, "stop talking about these vulnerabilities. They are real, they are there, and they must be addressed." The state has maintained throughout the court challenge against their systems that it has adequate controls to prevent fraud, but Raffensperger's letter to state legislators ramps up the rhetoric and shows that the fight for the legitimacy of the 2024 vote in Georgia is already underway. Quote, "The paranoiacs and conspiracists of the world have their beliefs reinforced when they read reports of theoretical, quote, vulnerabilities that fail to mention the real-world security measures already in place." That, according to Mike Hassinger, the spokesperson for the Secretary of State's office. He added, quote, if the PhDs don't like being put in the same category as the pillow salesman, tough noogies. They should stop saying similar things. Really? Tough noogies? Alex Halderman, one of the world's top experts on voting system security, is now a paranoiac conspiracist? Really? Is that why Judge Totenberg sealed his expert report from the plaintiff's own team for 2 years? Raffensperger's decision not to fix these systems represents, quote, the height of irresponsibility, Halderman said in an interview with Politico. Even if there's no actual attack, you better believe there are people who are going to use the existence of these problems to call into question the results of elections. Overall, Halderman's audit uncovered 9 serious vulnerabilities in Dominion software, as confirmed by CISA, which issued its warning in June of last year. But Raffensperger's office argues that physical security of the systems is more than enough to protect next year's elections, despite that Coffee County breach, I guess, where Team Trump was invited in by the local Board of Elections to come on in, open, copy, and share on the internet all of the software used across the entire state of Georgia. Add to that, as Politico notes, our friend Hari Hursti, a cybersecurity and voting system expert who scours election systems to help companies find holes in them, once bought the very same Dominion voting machine used in Georgia off of eBay. there's some security for you. The secretary and Dominion also cite a competing unsigned report from a nonprofit corporation known as MITRE, which also argues that physical security is enough to keep Dominion's voting system safe from malfeasance, or I guess also from simple programming error. The MITRE review, quote, is fantasy, said Philip Stark, a professor at UC Berkeley who conducts research on election integrity. Stark organized a group of more than 20 election security experts to send a letter demanding that MITRE retract their study. Have they done so? Let's find out. Joining us now is paranoiac and conspiracist Philip Stark of UC Berkeley, longtime professor of statistics, inventor of the post-election risk-limiting audit protocol, and a member of the Board of Advisors for the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission, and, if I am not mistaken, an expert advisor to the curling plaintiffs, the Coalition for Good Governance. Professor Stark, welcome back to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you. How can I tell if this is the real Bradcast, since I'm paranoiac?
You can't know. You can never know, sir. It could be any Brad. I could be Brad Raffensperger, for that matter. Hey, right. can you give me some sort of, I want to allow you to respond to a lot of these critiques, but can you give me just very quickly sort of a one or two line quick summary of the one or two most concerning vulnerabilities that was discovered in these systems by the paranoid University of Michigan's Alex Halderman in his now unsealed report?
Well, it's been probably about a year since I've read the report, mm-hmm. So things aren't fresh in mind. But among them was the finding that even voters have enough access to the ballot marking devices while mm-hmm. casting their votes to be able to inject malware into those devices. Mm-hmm. Malware can be injected into the devices at the level of the county so that they affect all of the machines in the county when they're being programmed for an election. Mm. The machines were left in after a recent upgrade, roughly 2020, if I'm recalling correctly, mm-hmm. the machines were left in a state that basically allowed people to do mischief. Just a lot of mishandling of things, not serious considerations of security in the actual architecture of the systems. Mm-hmm. Basically the finding that it takes very little physical access to yeah. carry out a lot of these attacks.
Yeah, very little, either by a single person at the county level can affect all of the machines in the county, or even just a single voter, because every voter is forced to vote on one of these machines at the polling place. A single voter can insert malware into the system. As to the critiques, detailed by Politico. Well, first, you have a PhD, don't you, Philip?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not in anything relevant, but, you know.
Well, that's all right, since it sounds like this would be meant to apply to directly to you as well, then, given your PhD and your advocacy for the plaintiffs in the case. Raffensperger's very professional spokesperson calls you and Halderman and DeMillo and Marks, et cetera, quote, paranoiacs and conspiracists, noting, quote, if the PhDs don't like being put in the same category as the pillow salesman, reference to Mike Lindell there, tough noogies, they should stop saying similar things, unquote. Tough noogies? Would you like to respond to that spokesperson there, Philip Stark?
Yeah, if the spokesperson can't tell the difference between what we're saying and what the other group is saying, then they're not competent to do their job.
Well, that's probably why they were hired. Raffensperger's letter to the Georgia State Legislature, where both Democrats and Republicans now appear to be furious that Raffi is refusing to install the recommended security upgrades, that charges that the state's physical security of voting systems is more than enough to keep the election safe next year. Raffensperger writes, quote, the Halderman report was the result of a computer scientist having complete access to the Dominion equipment and software for 3 months in a laboratory environment. We have to run elections in the real world, not just create conspiracies or hypothetical possibilities. Your thoughts on that?
Well, let's split that into two pieces. The first is the access that is required in order to be able to develop an attack, to discover vulnerabilities and develop an attack.
Mm-hmm.
That takes some access, but access way beyond what Halderman and Springall had has already been obtained by the people who were in the Coffee County elections office. They were there for weeks of uninterrupted access. They copied all of the software from all of the devices, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned before, it's possible to buy these devices on the internet, as Harry Hursty has done.
Mm-hmm.
Devices, some of the election equipment occasionally goes missing. For example, I understand that in DeKalb County relatively recently, it was discovered that 19 poll pads had been stolen. when the incoming election director arrived in Coffee County, or actually, this might have been an inspector, I'm forgetting who, but it was documented to the state that the equipment was being held in a room that had an unlocked exterior door, I believe, that the walls had holes in them. You could see daylight through the walls, et cetera.
Yeah.
That's hardly physical security to keep the equipment safe. So getting access to these things for the purpose of developing malware, developing exploits is really not hard. That cow left the barn
yep.
for a horse.
Yeah.
In the other direction, there's, okay, now that you've developed an attack, how much access do you need to carry out the attack? And there, Halderman's report shows that certainly an insider, and we now know that there are corrupt insiders who might take advantage of their access to implant malware that could change election outcomes on equipment in their jurisdiction. And then individual voters, Halderman's report shows individual voters have enough access mm-hmm. to be able to implant malware on individual ballot marking devices during the course of voting.
I mean, it's hearing you rattle off how Raffensperger, the chief, that you know, the top election official in the state who selected these machines, hearing how he is seemingly just so very wrong about the facts and the evidence that he was so critical of, you know, right wingers and Donald Trump for making up as they went to, you know, to claim that Trump won the 2020 election there. Now playing fast and loose with the facts and the evidence himself is maddening. Politico reports, asked about the attacks identified in the Halderman report, a Dominion spokesperson said that, quote, our customers' certified systems remain secure thanks in part to the many robust operational and procedural safeguards that exist to protect elections. What are they even referring to there? And should any of that give voters in Georgia and the rest of us watching Georgia's elections next year any confidence in these systems?
Well, I kind of wonder who isn't living in the real world here, because regardless of what the policies might be, in the real world, the security policies are not being carried out, as is well documented in Coffee County and elsewhere. So in the real world, there really are these vulnerabilities. Kevin Scoglin said it really beautifully in a message recently, that their attitude is as if a company that has serious cybersecurity deficiencies can remedy that simply by creating a strongly worded policy.
Yes. I'll tell you, I have been covering voting systems and these concerns for some 20 years now. And to hear this coming from both Dominion and the Secretary of State's office, it is like deja vu. I was hearing this stuff 15, 20 years ago. We would come out with, as a matter of fact, Halderman worked on one of the original analyses of a Diebold voting system, the one that was finally banned by the federal judge in Georgia just 2 years ago, leading to these new systems. I've been covering for 20 years, and every time these vulnerabilities are shown, we see the voting machine companies and the election officials come out and claim, oh, that's not a real world issue. The physical security will take care of these things. And yet they have been proven wrong year after year after year, and we're hearing it still 20 years later. I can only imagine how my producer Desi Doyen feels in covering climate change under those same conditions. But there was a competing review of Dominion's software, sort of, conducted by the nonprofit MITRE Corporation that is being cited by both Dominion and Raffensperger. Raffensperger claims this MITRE report supports him, that the report concluded that Halderman's attacks were, quote, operationally infeasible due to the physical controls in place in the state and the low likelihood of flipping enough votes to make an impact. That was the claim from MITRE. Your response to their report?
Well, first of all, they're just wrong. But I kind of wonder what their instructions were when they were given this contract. I conjecture that they were told to assume that those protections were in place. I doubt they did any independent research to determine whether, in fact, there were effective protections in place. I kind of liken this to saying it's completely fine to drive a car on bald tires as long as you have a policy of only driving straight on dry pavement and never turning sharply.
Right.
Or applying the brakes. Right. It's like, yeah, except that's not how it actually works in practice.
Right.
And here it's very, very clear that the assumption that there is rigorous physical security around these devices is just not true.
I know that you and a group of other experts in this matter have asked MITRE to retract their report, since apparently it was unsigned. They didn't even have whoever put this together didn't even have the confidence in it, I guess, to put their name on it. And apparently did not even study the actual voting systems, according to Halderman. Have you heard back from them concerning this request that they pull this report back, since it's so dubious at this point?
A conversation has started, but I can't really say more than that.
Okay.
I do want to correct the record in that I'm somehow being credited as having organized this list of experts. I helped, but I'm by no means the only person who was involved.
The Hassinger, that's the Raffensperger spokesperson, he argued that the incident in Coffee County that you cited, that I cited, that was an exceptional case of criminal wrongdoing. We shouldn't worry about that. That's not the sort of thing that happens. And besides that, he said the Secretary of State cannot make hand-marked paper ballots more available than they already are. If you're in Georgia, you can use one by voting, vote by mail, but not at the polls. But they can't do any more without support from the state legislators, but that the state does plan to check for signs of software tampering ahead of the 2024 election. So there is that. Should we feel any better due to that, Philip Stark?
No, for a variety of reasons. At best, even if that process worked perfectly, it would just confirm that the vulnerable software was installed on the systems. But beyond that, methods for what's called self-attestation, piece of software kind of saying, yep, I'm the right software.
Mm-hmm.
Those can be circumvented by malware. And, you know, at the end of the day, these are still BMDs, and BMDs are not a way of creating a trustworthy record of voter preferences.
Mm.
The paper that is printed out by a BMD is a record of what the machine did, and that's not necessarily a record of what the voter did or saw or intended.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So no, I think that's a distraction from the actual security issue, the actual trust issue.
And, of course, a BMD is a ballot marking device, a computer that essentially marks your ballot, takes the place of a pen, which seems like it'd be a lot cheaper and a lot safer. But, you know, even if the curling plaintiffs and Marilyn Marks are successful in their case, they're able to somehow get an order from the judge to move to hand-mark paper ballots in Georgia next year. They would still be tallied by Dominion's optical scan systems. Won't those systems also vulnerable, you know, since they were also part of the Coffee County breach? Wouldn't that still be a problem in any event next year?
Yeah. Any optical scan system or other electronic means of tabulating ballots and even hand counting votes are subject to errors, malfunctions, malware, bugs, all kinds of stuff. That's why it's important to audit election results. In order to audit the election results, though, you have to have a trustworthy record of the vote. And it's pretty clear from the 2020 election that Georgia, regardless of what their policies are, actually doesn't have good physical control of their ballots, memory cards, and other voting materials.
Mm-hmm.
There are examples in Fulton County of ballots that were included in the tally two and three times, and ballots that are evidently missing from the tally. They don't have good physical inventories of even the number of ballots. They don't have adequate reconciliation of the number of ballots received versus the number of voters who participated in the election. It's just an absolute mess. So even if they did rigorous audits using the paper trail that they've created, even if they had hand-marked paper ballots, those audits wouldn't be probative because of a lack of physical security, reliable chain of custody, et cetera, around the ballots and other voting materials.
Go ahead.
On a little bit further.
That's all right.
Georgia recently weakened its already anemic audit law so that now they're kind of decoupling the audits in different counties. So there is no way for Georgia to effectively audit statewide contests. And they're no longer apparently requiring a risk-limiting audit. Their audit law only requires an audit once every 2 years of one contest, and you need to be auditing every contest in every election.
Yep. It is kind of mind-blowing, but when you say, Philip, that, you know, in Atlanta there was some cases where some ballots were counted two or three times, I mean, one of the concerns that, you know, many Democrats have expressed, and believe me, I hear from them when I report on a story like this, you know, is that citing any vulnerabilities, any problems with these voting systems simply feeds into the hands of the MAGA conspiracy loons who claim that 2020 was stolen despite any evidence to support that claim. Politico wrote, for example, poking holes in systems or talking about them can, of course, fuel the same conspiracies that election security experts say they are now trying to stop. And the story goes on to quote none other than Donald Trump, who posted on his social media site in all caps in response to a story on the release of the Haldeman report, quote, "The election was rigged." So doesn't your critique and those from Haldeman and Marilyn Marks and Rich DeMillo and et cetera, feed into those actual paranoiacs and conspiracists' false claims?
Well, I'm going to answer a slightly different question, which is, first of all, there is a world of difference between this system is Swiss cheese from a perspective of security.
Mm-hmm.
It's really vulnerable and you need to harden it. And the election was rigged and the wrong person was announced to have won. That's just not the same claim at all.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the idea that we should stop pointing out vulnerabilities and trying to improve the trustworthiness of voting systems because someone might twist our words, the argument seems to be you should lie to people in order to increase their trust in you. That seems to me perverse.
Yes.
I mean, what we want is justified public trust in the outcome of elections.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want trust in untrustworthy elections. Trustworthiness needs to come before trust.
Are you one of those calling on Raffensperger to upgrade the touchscreen systems with this supposedly new software from Dominion before next year?
Yeah, I mean, I that would be an improvement. Going to hand-marked paper ballots as the default in polling places would be a much, much bigger improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Insisting on serious chain of custody and physical accounting for ballots, memory cards, voting machines, and other, you know, other election materials, I think, is absolutely crucial. They basically are just not doing the shoe leather work of securing their elections,
yeah,
and kind of pretending that having policies solves the problem.
Finally, Philip Stark, are the facts of these concerns that we've been talking about for the last 30 minutes or so, the very real concerns, are they getting out to the public, or is Raffensperger and his crew sort of winning the PR here by calling you, you know, conspiracists and using words like tough noogies? Are they winning this one, or are we getting the actual facts and evidence as Raffensperger once believed in out to the public?
I think they're running a very effective PR campaign. They have us outgunned on that front. I hope that people who really care about these issues will look under the hood at least a little bit and understand that there's a world of difference between the report that MITRE generated, as you mentioned, unsigned, without having had access to the equipment,
mm-hmm.
making completely false assumptions about physical security that was never vetted through any kind of peer review, hasn't gone through the scrutiny and pushback that an expert report would in actual litigation,
mm-hmm.
That somehow that's on a par with the meticulous work that was done by Halderman and Springall in producing their report, which was subject to the rigors of cross-examination, mm-hmm. et cetera, mm-hmm. was done in a scientific manner instead. So the MITRE report, I think, is wrong, and it's a fluff piece, and it's just isn't science, and the Halderman report is. So.
And yet there's a false equivalence that they make between the two of them. Their report says this, but our report says otherwise, so no worries.
Yeah. Right.
Very frustrating.
And if my grandmother had wheels, she'd be a school bus.
There you go. Philip Stark, conspiracist, paranoiac, and, as it turns out, professor at University of California in Berkeley and a longtime election expert. Not afraid to point out facts or even correct Georgia's Secretary of State when, well, as Raffensperger used to say,
the evidence, the actual evidence, the facts tell us a different story.
Thank you, Philip. You can find him and his work on the Twitters at Philip B. Stark. Always great speaking with you, my friend. Hope to do it again soon.
Likewise. Take care. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you.
You know, I have to say, it is really still shocking to me that Brad Raffensperger, Secretary of State of Georgia, is basically setting up the same conditions for people to not have confidence in the 2024 election.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? I mean, I get that nobody likes to be held accountable for their mistakes, but Raffensperger spent what?
$150 million
on this system, this extremely vulnerable system that mm-hmm. he now says he just can't manage to update it or patch it with upgrades and security updates in time 18 months before the election.
Well, I think one of the reasons is it's going to cost the state of Georgia, which has already spent about $150 million, going to cost them about another $75 million to upgrade 70,000 pieces of equipment across the state that they just spent $150 million on, 2 years ago?
Yeah, he got a boondoggle.
Yes, he did. He screwed it up, and
he's fighting accountability for that.
Yeah, and exactly. Even if something doesn't go wrong, what was it? One of the experts had said that even if things don't go wrong, even if everything's fine, even if there is no malware, no attacks, because of the vulnerabilities not being patched, it's going to allow these same folks to basically say, well, we don't know. Was it stolen or not in Georgia?
All over again.
I hope Raffensperger enjoys his testimony to Jack Smith today. All right, we got to get out. My thanks again to Philip Stark of UC Berkeley, to our producer, Desi Doyen, to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's show or any other, or you just want to share it with someone, you can always download it for free at bradblog.com. No paywall there. Thanks to those of you who are kind enough to drop by bradblog.com/donate to sign up for a subscription and help us keep reporting this critical stuff that needs to get out there. Drop me email if you like. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. On the Facebooks, Twitters, and Mastodons, you'll find me at The Brad Blog. We'll see you at all of the above. Until we see you here next time, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
Listening to The Bradcast. We are 100% listener supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.